Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. We are currently answering the questions from our listener in our third annual question and answer series. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with his answer. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
To believe God predestined somebody to go to hell, meaning that he also predestinated them to be a sinner and to do these vile things, whether it's homosexuality, thievery, murder, and a host of other filthy, rotten sins, to say that God predestinated them to do that would show that a person has no understanding of the holiness of God. Because if they did, they would realize by that thought they were undermining the holiness of God and making it something vile. And that's serious. Now, some say, but Jacob was a scoundrel. And that's so true in many areas. God has chosen men to serve him over the years whom I wouldn't have chosen. If you knew Samson's immoral ways before he would do them, would have you chosen him? I wouldn't have, but God did. Yet Samson is the only one in the Old Testament who single-handedly, without an army, without anyone helping, delivered Israel. Matter of fact, he's in Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith. So this is a type, you might say, types in the Bible are not perfect, absolute perfect types, but they're types. They're something that is likening to. Well, Samson's a type of Christ who would purchase our salvation by himself without the help of anyone else, as he did that on the tree and paying our penalty and then raising from the dead. God does choose us for various ministries. Some are called to music. Some are called to teach. Some, you're just to be a light in the world. All of us to be lights in the world. So if you're working in a secular job, maybe you're an engineer, maybe you're a laborer. Whatever your job is, God, if you're saved, has called you to be a light there. See, God doesn't need everybody being a Sunday school teacher, or not everybody even singing in the choir, but he does need every Christian. He wants every Christian to be a light. So we need to understand that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. I want you to notice these two passages, John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, And he, that is Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In other words, the whole world, not only the elect. You know what the word whole means, okay, W-H-O-L-E? It means the whole thing, okay, everybody. If you're lost, it's not something that you can say, well, I was predestined to be lost. If you're lost, it's your fault. It's because you've refused to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and to be cleansed from sin of which you seem to want to continue in them. You see, that's the crux of the matter. In John 3, 19 and 20, and this is the condemnation that light has come to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. If someone in a foreign land who has never heard at one time dies in a sin and goes to hell, it is not God's fault. It is the fault of the one who was supposed to tell him. Remember, after the fall of Adam and after the flood, all men knew God. All men who lived on the earth knew God after Adam and after the flood. The failure was men who rejected the Lord and did not pass it on to others because they had a free will not to do so. It's the failure of people who refuse to seek God's call and will. That's why I'm afraid that one day people, when they're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, will find out they were called to be missionaries or something else. They didn't do it because of whatever. Maybe because of the way people treated them, because of other things in their life, whatever it is. They didn't follow the call of God. Some didn't even know they were called because they didn't pursue it. They didn't seek to know it. And God didn't want to go through showing you his will when you're not even interested enough to find out what it is. So again, it's a failure of people who refuse to seek the Lord's call and will. Ezekiel 33:8 says, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand." See, man will be in hell, but you will lose your reward and be saved so as by fire. See, God wants to save you. He wants all men to be saved and to come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, we pointed out here in verses 9 through 13, God changes not, and he does not contradict himself. We pointed out how the passage here is dealing with the promise to Abraham and how it developed down through the line. He is the father of many nations. But only one line is that by which the land in Israel is to be inherited and by which Messiah would come. These examples were not speaking of salvation. That's a false assumption. And that's led so many astray in doctrine. There were Jews who believed that salvation was only for them, not Gentiles. You might say Calvinism did not start with Calvin, did not start even with Augustine. It started back in the Old Testament with the Jews themselves. Today, there are still people teaching the fallacy that some are predestined to salvation and others to eternal damnation. Well, the blood of Jesus and election are already in place, and we told you, it's appropriated to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, turning from their sins, coming to Christ, and giving their life to him. So, if he said he would have all elect to be saved, then it would have said he would have all elect to be saved, okay? But it doesn't say that. It says the opposite of that. Now let's look at the shocking to the reality question answered here, you might say. Verses 14 through 16 is what I'm looking at. And let me go into an explanation here. Verse 14 says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid." Now how could anyone make a statement of a holy, righteous God being unrighteous? The fact is, dispensationally speaking, Jacob was loved, Esau was hated. Dispensationally, this is how God chose, during that era, to carry his message to the world by choosing Jacob. Like a call to the mission field. Not everybody's called to go to a foreign mission field. Not everybody's called to go, for example, to the Fiji Islands. There are missionaries called there, but not every person is called there. Yet the ones that aren't called doesn't mean they're not saved or they're not good people or good Christians. It means that God chose these ones, just like Samson. We don't look at him as, "Boy, I want my child to grow up and be like Samson." But nonetheless, he's a person that God called and used. There is not reference in this passage to the individual as been apart from God's people. God so loved the world. Therefore, every child of Jacob or Esau may be saved who wills to know him as Savior. You see, if this passage here is speaking of the soul salvation of Jacob as one who is representing God's people, instead of looking at inheritance at the messianic line, then it would mean anyone born a Jew is already saved without repentance and faith, because God chose that line. See, if you're going to be true to interpretation, and you're going to say some are chosen to go to hell and some are chosen to go to heaven, then you have to say, since God chose Jacob, and that was a definite choice by God, and you think it's dealing with salvation, then you have to say that every person who's a Jew is saved, regardless if they're a mass murderer. Now, to answer the question, then, of verse 14, we go to verse 15. And it says there, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." In Exodus 33:19, we read, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So we see here in verse 14, he says, is there unrighteousness with God? No, but God has a right to be more merciful to one than he is another. But if he is more merciful, so to speak, to one in our eyes than he is to another, it's because he has a purpose. So now we have understanding of what is being implied. Why is it that the USA, Europe, and others have so much, but then the nations, as, for example, in Africa, are far behind in nutrition and agriculture and medicine? If you want to be individual about it, why were you born here instead of having your spirit given to a tribal mother along the Amazon? So again, are you noticing what I notice? He did not say here, I will condemn whom I will condemn, and I will reprobate whom I will reprobate to eternal destruction. That I will make a sinner out of whom I want to make them a sinner. You see, so the Lord is not here saying that he's going to make sinners and that he's going to make them really vile, some more vile than others. He's holy. But he does say, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. No. Be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. We're not the ones who direct God. It is not negative. He's not speaking of heaven or hell. The thought behind Exodus 33 is the children of Israel had made a golden calf. God had mercy upon them. God chose them to be the people that would inherit this land. He had chosen them to enter into that land, to be his people.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.